Okay, who remembers the song Don't Worry, Be Happy? Don't Worry, Be Happy, a lot of people. It was pretty famous. It did get a bunch of awards that year. The year was 1988. It was Bobby McFerrin, and it was an a cappella. I started to play a little bit of it, and a cappella. There's some great background singers with that. And just some of the lyrics. We have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlords say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. You fill in the rest. Great song. But let's face it, we do worry, right? Who does not worry? We do worry. We worry things like our health, our job, our lack of a job, our finances, our looks, our family, our spouse, our children, and we can worry about the church, you know, locally or, you know, overall. The list goes on and on. And unfortunately, humanly speaking, it is natural, and we all do it to some degree. And if you really think about it, it really comes down that it's a lack of faith. If you really come down to it, it's a lack of faith when we worry. So in this sermon, let's examine the problem of being worried, being anxious and upset, and they're all tied into a lack of faith. We need to understand that this topic so we can build strength to fight against it and have the faith of Jesus Christ living in us. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Because Jesus certainly talked about the issue of being worried. He certainly talked about it. Matthew 6, part of the what's called the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6 and verse 31. He said, therefore, take no thought. And it's really anxious thought is what he's getting at here. So don't take anxious thought saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Where are we going to be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All these things shall be added to you. Verse 34, therefore take no, just insert the word anxious. Don't take anxious thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You've got to worry about today, right? If you want to worry about something. And, you know, he named the categories. You know, we all need to eat, drink, and be clothed and have housing. And Jesus did not deny that taking care of ourselves was trivial or meaningless. But it can reach a point where we can obsess about the physical needs. Jesus says, put all things in perspective. Don't get anxious. As he said, the Gentiles seek. They're concerned with the physical things, spend a lot of time, sometimes, you know, way too much time in the pursuit of getting ahead, getting things, et cetera, et cetera. But if we want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, our priority must be our relationship with them and following their righteous way of life. And when we do, we can wake up and live our life with faith, knowing that whatever happens, we have a loving father, we have a loving elder brother to help and provide for us. Now, worry does start when our faith is limited or weak. That's why, as he said in verse 33, we have to seek God each day. That has to be our priority, our priority. And we turn just back in a chapter. We have the model prayer outline from Jesus in verse 6. And Jesus said, you know, when you pray, you know, it's in secret. And basically, he said in verse 9, after this manner, let me give you a good outline for prayer. And it starts off with, you know, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily food, forgive us our debts, lead us not in temptation. Okay, you know, I think it's important to notice how the prayer starts off. It's not like, dear God, I need your help, right? Like, I need your help. That's the first thing. We really should recognize, like, God's greatness, right? Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Because that sets the stage that you're seeking help from the greatest being in existence is God. So that's where the focus needs to be. If you really think about it, how unbelievable it is that we can literally have a private talk with the greatest being in the universe. Sometimes I don't think we think about that enough. That's unbelievable that we can talk to him. So it's about first recognizing God, his greatness, honoring him. And then even after that, the priority is God's kingdom, right? That it will come. That is the true answer to all the problems, certainly our problems as well that could be a part of. And then, yeah, it does start with your personal needs. And that is absolutely good and right that we talk to God and we openly talk about things in our life that's going on and ask for his help. Things that we have to think about that help us have perspective is always remembering physical things are temporary. Our life is temporary. Even some of our issues are temporary. God's kingdom is eternal. I mean, that's really, really our focus. Really our focus is God's kingdom is eternal. But obviously we have to live this life and live it to the best that we can. It's so important to develop a close relationship with God. And when you do that, when troubles come up, that's the first thing you think about. You don't think, how do I solve this problem? What can I do? Like, you immediately, like, let me pray. Let me ask God for help, even to think about the problem. That's why a close relationship with God, when times are good, is just as important. If we don't, our faith will not grow. And then when we have trials, we're not going to handle them properly. And we can set up ourselves for a lot of worry and anxiety. Because a lot of times we can't solve our problems. We can do so much. We can try to solve them. Some things we have no strength to do. As he mentions in verse 34 about taking no anxious thought about the morrow. So many times our minds start to wander. And we worry not just about today, but we do literally worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen in a week, what's going to happen later in the year. And some of us, like me, I usually think of the worst case thing that could possibly happen. My mind trends in that direction. The glass is half empty, needs to be filled up. I have one example in my life where my mind started to think of the absolute worst thing. I was commuting to work from Naugatuck to Norwalk, and I know someone in the room will understand what that means. And that was bad enough. It was 40 miles with traffic and stress. And I heard a rumor, hey, they're going to move the office to Stanford, which is even... Like, and I blew my mind. And I came home. I was like, I can't do it. I can hardly do this commute. I can't do the commute. So I was like, we're going to have to move. We're going to have to move. Literally went out. It's like, we remember looking in Milford. like, you know, if we could get a house in Milford, then I could take the train into Stanford. Guess what? It never happened. It was a rumor, never came to play. But here in my mind, I had projected something in a worst case scenario. That's not good. You know, I don't remember the specifics. I bet I, you know, had maybe some sleepless nights thinking about it. That's not good. That's not living in faith, right? Someone said, quote, "Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday," right? Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. And what does worry do? It just saps your energy. Energy that we could use maybe to do something, you know, that we could do about our situation. We can fail to start to do the right things because we just get down and we get depressed. And, you know, I remember years ago when I was first coming to church, I had a really bad week, and, you know, it's like, I don't think I'm going to church today. You know, it's like a really bad week. I just don't feel like doing it. And I forced myself to go, and I remember the sermon speaker got up and gave the most perfect message possible for me. I felt he was talking to me, and I was encouraged, etc. So, you know, you always have to do the right thing, to do the right thing. What are the fruits of worry? I've talked about anxiety, which is readily documented, can lead to physical problems, not just, you know, stress, but physical problems. Heart problems, high blood pressure, ulcers. I remember a church member, a longtime church member, very solid. He got so anxious about a potential health issue. He was thinking about it over and over again, and he had an anxiety attack and almost a heart attack. And it was all mental. He just let his mind keep racing about what is going on. The mind does have an effect over the body. I did research a number of health websites on this issue. And this is just a compilation of things that I gathered. It says, our body does respond to the way you think, feel, and act. This is one type of mind-body connection. Mind-body connection. There are a lot of books written about this. When you are stressed or anxious or upset, your body reacts in a way that might tell you something is not right. For example, high blood pressure or a stomach ulcer might develop after a very stressful event. Here are some signs that your emotional health is out of balance, right? Back pain, change in appetite, dry mouth, extreme fatigue, general aches and pains, headaches, insomnia, lightheadedness, palpitations, an upset stomach. That's a classic of mine. When something's really bothering me, it's like the juices start going in your stomach. Getting upset stomach. I felt that. Poor emotional health can weaken your immune system. So then you're more likely to get colds and other infections during emotionally difficult times. Also, when you're feeling stressed, anxious, or upset, you may not take care of your health as you would normally do. You may not feel like exercising, eating nutritious foods. Abuse can occur of alcohol, tobacco, or other drugs can result from, again, what's going on in our mind. Our brain produces substances that can improve your health. Endorphins, you might have heard that, endorphins. There are natural painkillers, and something called gamma globulin. which actually strengthens your immune system. So, you know, when we have positive reinforcement, positive thinking, things that elevate us, your body can respond in a positive way. Research shows that what your brain produces depends in part on your thoughts, feelings, and expectations, right? What's expectations? What's going to happen tomorrow? How's this all going to work out? If you're sick, but you have hope and a positive attitude, and you believe that you'll get better, your brain is likely to produce chemicals that will help boost your body's healing power. That's great to know. That is great to know. Negative thoughts and emotions, on the other hand, keep your brain from producing some of the chemicals that can help heal your body. So this is a giant area. Again, there's books, et cetera, written about this. But it's not just conjecture. I mean, this is documented, that mind-body connection. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17 has something to say in this area. Proverbs 17 and verse 22. It says, a merry heart, a happy heart, a happy outlook, it does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. And this is, you could say, ancient mind-body connection, right? This is written many years, many centuries ago, but the wisdom here, even understood certainly at that time, is that your heart, I mean, that's your thoughts, your feelings, it does good. It's very important in your life. But if your spirit is broken, you're depressed, you're down, you're worried about what's going to happen with whatever, that it's going to feed in a negative way. But we can have peace of mind if we lay off our burdens on God and Christ and trust they will see us through whatever we are facing. And that frame of mind, which is exercising faith, it works like medicine. Let's go to the book of James, chapter 4. Book of James. James chapter 4, verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? What is your life? It's like a vapor. It appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. For what you ought to say is, if the Lord wills, if it's God's will, hey, we'll live, you know, things will go on, and do this or that. So he's connecting, you know, God being in the picture and relying on that. And you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I've learned to pray like, you know, you have your issues and you have your issues that you know you're dealing with. But I always like, well, help me with the things I have no idea is going to happen this week. Something's going to happen. Help me to deal with something that might be happening during the week. You know, you kind of preview the problems that you might be having. Ask for the wisdom to deal with it in a right way. We should always allow God to be involved with every facet of our life. That's why, again, building that relationship with him. So let me like to spend the rest of the sermon to give you four keys to help you overcome the problem of worry. Four keys. Number one, live and handle one day at a time. Live and handle one day at a time. And I remember there's a country song, I don't know who sang it, but it's "One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus, That's All I'm Asking of You." It's another song. And it's a simple statement. It's a simple principle. I find it extremely powerful. It's very powerful. Just deal with today, right? Deal with the challenges of the day. Structure your day in a right way. A day that, yeah, you're going to get your prayer in, right? You're going to be able to read God's word. Handle one day at a time. If we focus on today, we won't be overcome by what may happen tomorrow. Let's go to Hebrews, book of Hebrews, chapter 13. This is very helpful to always think about this. Hebrews 13 and verse 8 is Jesus Christ, right? Our Lord and Savior. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? He wasn't just around, during the apostles' time, but he was resurrected. He's at the right hand of God. He makes intercession for us, and he's there all the time. Like, he never takes a break. He's there, and he's the same. He's totally consistent to help us out. Psalm 118. Let's take a look at that. Here's a great attitude to have. Psalm 118, verse 24. It says, "This is the day which the Lord has made." And that's every day, right? We can say that. "It's the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Let's focus on the here and now. And certainly every day we can have something to be thankful for. I mean, you woke up and you're alive, right? That's a pretty obvious one, but thank you. I have another day, right? I've got another day, of life and day to seek God and the good things in life. Again, this is all about focusing on the day at hand. Handle the issues that are today. And again, don't start storing up things that have not happened yet or might never happen. Let's go back to the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 26. We have this from Paul to the Ephesians. Ephesians 4, 26. He says, "Be angry," right? You can be angry. There are things that get us rightfully angry. We can have righteous anger. But don't sin. Don't let it get out of hand. Control your anger. Control your emotions. And he says, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." If you don't resolve things and get things settled before you go to bed, what's going to happen? I know what's going to happen to me. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to start thinking about it. And how am I going to handle this problem? And it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're not going to handle the problem. You're just going to lose sleep. If you lose sleep, that can affect you in a negative way. So let things get settled in. Resolve things the best that you can. Again, we're dealing about today, the present day. Get things resolved. Don't let them carry over. And we do have Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians 4, and starting in verse 4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, rejoice. And Paul, as you know, we heard a little bit in the sermonette, what a remarkable man he was, that all the things that he went through, unbelievable trials and tribulations that he went through, he always had that he had the faith that God was there, that Christ was there. And so, yeah, rejoice. Because even the most dire personal circumstances, God's kingdom's coming. And there's a future. There's, you know, tomorrow's world. Christ's kingdom is coming. There's wonderful times ahead. Even if in this life, there's you know, really tough times, it's going to last so long. The future is incredibly wonderful, and it's going to happen. So he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I say, rejoice. Verse 5, let your moderation be known to all. And here's an expression, the Lord is at hand. It's alluding to the fact that Christ is coming back. You know, Christ is at hand. That time is coming soon. And that's why he adds in verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There's a lot packed into this verse, right? He just says, he comes right out and says, you should not be anxious, right? Okay, easier said than done, right? Don't ever be anxious. Thank you, Paul. Right? You know, we need the help. But in everything, so when you're dealing with things of that nature, make sure you pray. Make sure you pray your heart out. Really, we should be able to let it all hang out, right? Just say what's on your mind in prayer. And supplication is really asking God for help. And he always adds, with thanksgiving. So there's always things to be thankful for. Even like, wow, my situation is dire. Well, you're praying to God. You should feel good. You're praying to the greatest being that can right every wrong. Okay, so live and handle one day at a time. If you just do that, that is going to be such a big help. It's going to be a big help if we can learn to do that. Okay, number two, I kind of said this, but okay, it's a second point. Is go to God in prayer with thanksgiving. Number two is make sure we go to God in prayer with thanksgiving. And there's an old hymn. Here is an old hymn, Count Your Blessings, right? Might be familiar with that. The first time I heard that song, Count Your Blessings, back in the 60s or late 60s, there was a, right before Herbert Armstrong came on the radio, on WOR radio, there was Ralph Montanus, the blind evangelist. And that was his theme song. He just played that. He played that theme song. And I've had one hymnal that actually had it in there in my prior church life. The hymn says, you know, when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I wish it was in our hymnal. It's really good. It's a very upbeat hymn. What is this saying? When times are bad, like, hold, let me count the good things. Let me count the good things that are there. Things that never change, right? One of it is that God loves you. The great God really loves you. Jesus Christ loves us. He is our advocate. He literally, when we pray, he is there at God's right hand to help to translate maybe some of our groanings to God the Father. And Christ can say, I was there. I lived the life. I know what it is to, you know, have the human experience. And he can relay that to the Father. Jesus Christ actually does that. That's part of the prayer process. So they are pulling for us, you might say. that never changes. No one can ever take that away from us. Another thing that no one can take away from us, God's great master plan, the master plan of salvation. It's the greatest thing. I think it's the greatest conceivable thing is God's plan. Like, it's beyond any fiction stories that can be created. It's incredible what God has. You know, the incredible human potential. God creating a family eventually for all eternity. That's the plan. And guess what? It's going to work. And we can be a part of it as long as we just hang in there. As long as we can hang in there. And we can just read, let's just keep going to verse 7 here in Philippians. Verse 7. If we do the right thing, it says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. It's the peace of God. It's a special peace. It's having this confidence that it's all going to work out. Things are going to work out eventually. Eventually, they're going to work out for the good. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter 5, and verse 7. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, one verse from Peter. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Not some of your care, not some of your problems. What are the issues that you're dealing with? You know, we all have different issues, different challenges in our life at different times. And what is Peter say, you know, Peter who spent those years with Christ, cast all the care upon him, upon God, about Christ, for he, we could say, they care for you. Again, they're there to help you to totally succeed. So when we have a weight bearing down upon us, again, the admonition is call on God, talk it all out. And that's the start of things. And there are things certainly beyond our strength. There's times where, because sometimes we try to solve our problems, right? We try to figure it out. And then it's almost good when you come to the point that you can't figure it out. You can't do anything about it. And that's almost good, because what do you, then you go to God. Then you have God to fill in what you can't do. And that's always there. It's always there. And go and, you know, as it says in back up in verse 6, humble yourself, right, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And as we know with God, you know, we ask, God has three ways he can respond to our petitions, right? It can be yes, going to deliver you, help you. It could be no. You know, in God's wisdom, as he sees your life, if not, the answer might be no, and that would be good for you, because God is making that decision. And then the other one could be wait, that it's not time yet, and there might be lessons to be learned. Always pray to God, and with thanksgiving. Number three, the third point, and let's go to a scripture first. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 and verse 8. This is quite a powerful scripture. Philippians 4, verse 8. He said, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, whatever things are of good report, it's good news, that's good information. I like that. If there be any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things, right? Think on these things. Now, we have to deal with the realities of life, right? So there's some things that we have to think upon, right, that are challenges. But the point is, if we spend all of our time there in a negative way, the outcome is not going to be good. So the exhortation is to think on positive things. Do things that uplift you, right? What are things that you feel good? You know, maybe it's music you listen to or an activity or certain people that really boost you. Hey, take advantage of that. Do the things that you can do to get good vibes, so to speak, in your life. That's what this verse is all about. The power of positive thinking. And if you think about it, in verse 8, does worry fit with any of these things, right? Is worry a part of things that are lovely, right? Things that are true? It doesn't fit in. What is true? God's word that we're reading. And, you know, one thing is part of God's word, which I found helpful in times past. You go through a trial, open the book to Psalms, start reading some of the Psalms. They're incredible. Some of the Psalms sometimes are so perfect to what you're dealing with. I found that out. This is exactly how I feel. And, you know, David's writing that. He wrote these incredible songs. And some of them are like, hey, they're out to kill me, right? That's, times are tough, right? They're out to kill me, and they're out to get me, and he's lamenting to God. But he always ends with, yeah, but you're there, and you'll deliver me. So use the Psalms. They're fantastic when you're dealing with trials. And there are many of them that deal with a bunch of issues that you can definitely relate to. And again, don't just casually read, but, you know, think about it, meditate, pray about the words. It's not that you could have the Psalms out in your prayer and read the Psalms before God. You know, whatever it takes to, you know, to overcome worry and anxiety. Okay, finally, last point. We see that actually in the next verse. He says, these things, right, that he's listed, which you have learned, you've received, you've heard, and that you've seen in me, here's what we need to do. Do it. Like, practice this, right? Do it, and the God of peace shall be with you. So the fourth point is to be a doer. We have to do the right things. And practice what we hear and read in the scriptures and other positive things. We have to live the truth. It's not just enough to know about the truth. You know, that scripture that the demons believe in God, right? The demons are not atheists, right, or agnostics. They believe in God, but they just reject God, right? So the belief in God is not enough. It's like, well, do you follow God? You do the things that he tells you to do. So we always have our part. You know, it's not like we have all these things that we need and we pray to God and then we just sit back, you know, we go on the couch, we turn on the TV and, you know, the doorbell's going to ring and someone's going to offer me a job. The doorbell's going to ring and, oh, it's my future spouse. They're the most beautiful, handsome person. And like, and you're like, it doesn't happen that way. It's like, you have to do something. You know, you work with God and he'll help you along the way. We always have our part to do, to be a doer, living the truth. Let's go to, let's go back to the book of James. Because James always emphasized belief by itself is not enough, right? If we really believe, we'll also do. James chapter 1. And verse 22, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. If any hears the word but doesn't do anything, it's like someone looking into the mirror, looking at themselves, going their way, and then forgetting what they look like, right? But whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, verse 25, and continues He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man, this woman, this person will be blessed in the doing. You're blessed in the doing. And I think that's a lot of times where we fall down. We have a lot of information. We have this whole Bible to read, right? But the challenge is it's actually starting to put it into your life. Well, I think Paul summed up what our attitude needs to be. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Just one verse here. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in verse 28. Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Right, that's such an encouraging scripture, that things are going to work out eventually. Most likely, you know, well within, you know, the days up ahead if you're facing something, right? And they work together for good. But there are, you might say, conditions, right? Those that love God, that God is involved in their life, right? And, you know, according to his purpose, so we have a relationship with God, things are going to work out. We present our petitions to God. We do our part, whatever we can do, and it's going to work out. Where is worry in that? We shouldn't have any worry. That if we can do that, then we have faith. Then we have really good and strong faith. Again, God won't do everything for you. He knows what you need to do, and he'll provide the help that we need that we can't do by ourselves. So let's just go back where we started. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And in verse 31, as Jesus said, don't take anxious thought, saying, you know, all these physical things, all the problems that we're facing, right? It says, as it says in verse 32, God knows, he certainly knows what you need. But seek first the kingdom of God, verse 33, and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. These things, yeah, he knows you need these physical things. He'll take care of you. Verse 34, don't take any anxious thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And we could sum up all of this by saying, don't worry, be happy. Thank you.